the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am back with my next guest, Thomas Lane, and the name of his book is The Karma Factor. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, well, a book.
Yes, thank you.
This is, it's so fascinating, and part set in New York. I love New York, and I was just talking to an author who lives in New York City, and she's so happy to be back living in New York City. So those parts that you write about New York City are so, so very, very good. You really capture the city.
Oh, I fell in love. I lived there a couple different times, and, you know, it was the place to be. It was home. It was exciting. I was younger in those days, but it's a magic city.
Well, the karma factor. When I started the book, of course, you have at the very beginning. Well, first two things. you've dedicated it to everyone who's facing a crazy world crisis, and I thought, well, that's rather apropos to the occasion.
Yeah, it sure is.
I mean, I don't know, when you finish writing this book, I don't think things were quite as bad as they are now.
That's probably true. You know, I wanted to thank you for your title, Joy on the Paper, because to use a word like joy in this time is really, it's wonderful. I think it's, and because, you know, somehow, I don't know, I get the feeling that, you know, I can't feel joy because so many things are so wrong. But anyway, I appreciated your naming that.
Well, you know, I came out with the idea for this program at 4:15 one morning. Mm-hmm. And my reason for using that name is, I find so much joy, not just in writing, but also the joy of reading.
Yeah.
Because it can take us out of ourselves. It can take us to good places. It can take us to crazy places. It can take us into a world where even if the world that is being written about might not be as bad as the world we're existing in. During the pandemic, people really needed to read about something to take them from thinking about the pandemic. Now, your book is great. You know what? What I love, first of all, your main character. I'll let you explain it. But I thought, always when people come out with a character and they want to, who's going to really carry the book through, that James Early is a fascinating character that you've developed. The book has many different aspects. So, how do you like to explain this book? Because we start off with a very, the story we're reading. I love when things are revealed slowly or when things develop. So we start off and we're just a very nice bedroom scene, sort of a typical bedroom scene that has been played over and over. But then things just, we're learning a lot about your character, James Early. So tell us about him.
Well, he is, when we start out, he is just really under sort of mental collapse there. He is, you know, he's not seeing the world. He knows there's something wrong inside him. At one point, he says to his partner, he says, I did something horrible. I don't know what it is. I wish somebody would just tell me what it is and put me in jail. And, you know, he doesn't know. He's been blocking out this past that he has, and even when he, you know, puts himself in the middle of a hail of machine gun fire just so he can, like, end it all, suddenly the bullets are diverted, and then now he has to, this is, I don't know if you've read the Robert McKee book about story, but it's called The Inciting Incident, where, you know, the main character is flung into the unknown, and somehow he has to scramble his way back to a new place. And this is what happens to Early. All of a sudden, things collapse. The way he's used to perceiving the world, his terrible opinion of himself, he begins to, through the course of the book, he begins to find out what's going on with him, where he has been, what he's acting out, in a sense. And he begins to take responsibility and accountability for you know, a huge mistake in the past. I don't know if that answers your question, but the book then reveals the layers of awareness that he's going through, and that is he's part of a kind of a master plan by some folks that are very wise and all-seeing.
Well, of course, he's a cop in, in New York City, so we have that aspect. We get to know him, his family, where he comes from. Now, at the very beginning of the book, you have a letter. You know, one of the times I remember really losing it when I was watching a television program. It was years ago. I was in England, and they showed a story about the Chinese blowing up the Buddhist monasteries.
Yeah.
These gigantic places with these people who were peaceful, and they just blew them up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I couldn't believe that there could be people so evil.
No, I agree.
So yeah, how does this letter come into it, and how does the whole idea of karma, where did you find this idea?
The letter is the very, very big picture, which is, you know, I don't want to give it away too much, but is a renegade monk who believes in past lifetime, who sees after World War II, he looks sort of through his very vast perspective, and he sees a world that's in trouble, and that even when Hitler's defeated, another strongman, another, you know, dictator-type person will come into play, and we have seen that. And so he is trying to avert that by tackling what he considers the what's really going on is bad karma. Karma being sort of the cause, spiritual cause and effect of things. So that, and he's trying to approach, you know, solving just massive failures as you know, people that walk around with horrible things that have been done to them and done to the, you know, that they have done in the past, and cleaning them up. So this is the big picture, the big roadmap, and then we go down into, you know, the hands-on and how it's being worked out. My relationship with karma and spirituality really came, I have basically kind of a two-track thing. When I was a kid, I was raised in a very intellectual family, Harvard, Yale, and all that, and I just was not, I just didn't relate to that. And when I was feeling, you know, sort of as an outsider, I don't know if I developed it, but I had this vast imagination. So I would take relief and escapism through this imagination. And then at a certain point, I couldn't hold it all away. The imagination wasn't always working to protect me. But then I ran into The Hobbit. My fourth grade teacher read The Hobbit out loud, and I was transfixed on this other kind of alternative reality of fantasy and literature and the joy of reading and turning the imagination into that. That turned into spiritual quest and trying to understand the world, trying to understand myself. At the same time, I was very much a guy. You know, I love sports. I love action adventure. I love, you know, this kind of competition among guys and stuff. So when I came to, you know, maybe in my 20s and 30s, these two things, this two as a regular guy and a spiritual quester and imaginative creative thing, they began to combine in a kind of opposing vectors inside me. But that was the impetus for creation. And I began writing and playing the guitar and singing and getting involved in progressive movements and stuff. So when I ran into the concept of the Akashic Records, which is how I termed at that point as a database of past lifetimes, I thought, how interesting, and how I could perhaps weave together this sort of database of past life, of everybody's incarnations being expressed in this database. It's you know, it's nothing you can see. It's not a real thing in terms of the physical plane. But anyway, so I, knowing that it's a, you know, it's the world is gritty and tough and hard, but also there's magic woven in between the seams. And so the thought of an action adventure story and a with spiritual sort of backlit by spiritual concepts and stuff, put them together, and this is the how the karma factor was born.
I love that you, when you're talking about your teacher reading The Hobbit, that you say the joy of reading. Because I think that's so important for people to now understand this concept of joy. When you're joyful, it is so wonderful. You are feeling so good. You have energy and strength and power. And then as we now know, I mean, the world is in crisis, and I don't understand a lot of it myself. I think part of it is people didn't perhaps believe that there was so much evil, and the evil that we're seeing is something that I think this generation certainly wasn't prepared for.
Yeah, it's been, denial is I consider it like a drug. And it is very contagious, and it's very much rampant in our culture, where things that could have been noticed, the beginnings of things centuries ago, or decades ago anyway, and that there were problems and that we needed to face them. And the longer we don't face them, sort of the bolder it gets. And so now we're in a period of real transformation. And, you know, big lies and stuff like that. But I'm with you, because it's also a time of big truths. And people are really mobilizing and working things through interpersonally. I mean, there's a whole nother movement going on, which is, I feel, is based on joy, based on the miracle of life. And, you know, there are us that want to promote that. I sure do. I want to be out there talking about hope, despite all reasons not.
When we're looking at things today, and we can see, and we can actually identify some of the evil people in this world, we knew what Putin was.
Yeah.
There's no question that we knew. And all of this carnage that's happening is so, I think, so stunning for those of us, particularly for those of us who lived in Europe and traveled in Europe and traveled to these countries, have been in these countries, and that this would happen in 2022, 2023. I don't know, you have to sort of control yourself, your mind, to get your hands around it.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you there also. You take your joy where you can get it. And if you know, I'd rather love and lost than never to have loved at all. And to be alive is to suffer, but it's also to find joy and truth and happiness. And so, again, it's like the opposites, you know, seem to be colliding in a way that is unmanageable. But that's the work, at least for me, that I have to do interpersonally and with myself and my work. And there's a lot of growth. I have found I am learning so much, so quickly. This is really a growth spurt.
The Karma Factor, of course, is available online, hopefully in bookstores. Do you have a website you want people to go to?
Yes, please visit me at thomaslane.com. That simple. There's a lot of stuff about the book. I'm also a musician, and I've written poetry, and I'm a painter, and I'm all over the place, but it's largely devoted to the book. So, yeah, come check it out.
Did you do the cover?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
My wife and I did.
It's very good. It's very, I like it very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I took a look at it, and I said to myself, that's an artist, and I really like it. It's great.
Thank you.
Again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. I hope that people will get the book. It has so much depth. And I think it will help people to focus perhaps on what they can do and perhaps understand a little bit about what's going on in the world. But Thomas Lane, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And again, the name of the book is The Karma Factor, a fascinating book, a great read. Thank you very much, Thomas.
Thank you, and thank you for doing this work. It's really fun. It's really great.
Well, you know, I'm here to promote writers and to promote books because I think it's so important. One thing I've discovered that listeners, they relate to a book better if they've heard the author talk about it. Mm-hmm. They become interested in it, and that's what I love. I will get emails from people saying, "Well, I wasn't going to read this book. Or I never heard of this book, but." You know, the writer sounds so interesting. And as I want to tell people again, anybody who loves books that really do feature great parts of New York City, they will love to read this book again. Thomas, thank you for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thanks so much. Take care, everyone.
Okay.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful day.